What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Don't fuck it up, people. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Not much. What's good with you?
I had a very fun time last night, Greg.
What'd you do?
I got back into Rainbow Six Siege.
Did you now?
Yes.
You abandoned Monster Hunter. No. Just like Kevin Coelho
did.
No,
listen. It took a lot of willpower for me to not boot up Monster Hunter.
Sure.
But like you, I run a show. And I can't keep talking about Monster Hunter on that weekly show
every
week.
You can't keep talking about old games?
I mean, it's a current game. But
painted you into the corner.
But I mean, I've talked about it the last 2 weeks on what's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I know. So I feel bad about that too.
I need to talk about a little something else. So, and my friends over at Ubisoft very graciously hooked me up with some Renown and some other R6 credits so that I could buy some of the new customization options. Whoa. If you guys haven't been back to Rainbow Six in a while like I hadn't really played since season one. There is a ton of cool stuff to buy in the shop. All charms, right. Skins, new outfits for your operators.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good.
I bought a Monster Hunter theme for PlayStation 4 last night, and it was bad. It was not worth a buck.
No,
it's just backgrounds. I'm like, oh, God damn.
That's
it.
Too bad. It's so rare that you get a good theme.
It's the problem is that nothing can touch the Firewatch theme.
Oh,
the Firewatch theme is
too relaxing for me.
That's why it's great, because you can just leave it on and forget about it. Whereas when I had the Patapon theme, which I loved, Jen was like, I'm going to stab you in the face if you fucking have that thing marching anymore.
That's how John feels about my laser cat theme that I have on right now.
Oh, nice laser cats. Yeah,
it's a
nice.
Giant cat head with lasers coming out of it, and it plays dubstep.
I hear you. I'm glad you're enjoying Rainbow Six Siege. I am fully addicted to Monster Hunter. And the fact that now Jen is addicted to it makes it even better. That we just get to sit there and have a couple time playing.
So how far in are you? What level are you at?
I'm level 10, but I'm more like 32 hours in.
Okay.
Because the thing is that, of course, Kevin and I had been playing, but then like when people get out of sync right, like you start going back down. So I've been playing a lot with Jen. I was playing with Andy last night, but because they're lower, I'm just doing optional side quests with them.
You know, I've been jumping in the online session for the Kinda Funny squad, and I haven't been able to sync up with anyone. But your Palico joins me on quite a few missions.
Yeah, no, I've seen yours
too. Sent him on the Tail Raiders.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're all about this. We're doing it tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow's Valentine's Day. There will be a stream for Monster Hunter after Kinda Funny Games Daily. Jen. Ooh. My wife, Genevieve Saint-Ange, is coming here. We're going to play with our son, Kevin Coelho.
Oh, maybe I'll jump in then.
Hell yeah.
Tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, all right. Now we're talking. Because Andy's like, I might have to work. I might have to make a party mode. I'm like,
well, he can work. I'll take a spot.
More asking me for you while we're here. Why not? Thursday is the hypening. Michael Huber from Easy Allies is coming to Kinda Funny.
Huber hype.
He is doing Kinda Funny Games Daily with me. Then he's recording a one-on-one Kinda Funny Games cast with Tim. What a great time to join. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Because then you could watch him record the live Kinda Funny Games cast with Tim. And then, of course, Thursday is also the debut of the PlayStation VR show. You could get that all for just a buck. You could watch all that content and new cool things.
He's fantastic. If you guys have never watched any of the Easy Ally stuff or back when they were at Game Trailers, legit.
He
those
freaks
are,
out a lot.
Those are good guys over there.
Him and Tim freak out a lot. That's why it's the hypening. God, I need a haircut, Andrea. So badly. I couldn't go yesterday. Salon wasn't open.
Yeah.
Annoying. I don't know if they'll be open today. I'm going to have to send you down there as eyes on the prize.
I'll text you when I leave.
Thank you. While I'm here, too, I'll just tell you. This show's brought to you by Bombfell, but I'll tell you about that later. What is this show? This is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show by writing in to kindafunny.com/KFGD. Give us your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, new segment ideas, and whatever else you got for Games Under the Sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Of course, we don't look at the chat. We're trying to make a polished podcast. If you want to be part of the show live, you need to do your job and go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, it appears Spyro Trilogy Remastered is coming to PlayStation 4. This is via Kotaku. Kevin, I asked him earlier, but he didn't. Go get Tim. According to multiple sources familiar with the project, Activision is currently working on a Spyro the Dragon trilogy remaster, which will be announced in March 2018 and released in Q3 2018. The trilogy remaster will, much like the highly successful Crash Bandicoot Insane trilogy, feature new assets, lighting, animations, and cinematics, as well as a remastered soundtrack. It will also feature updates to the save feature, much like occurred in the Crash Remaster, which replaced the original game password feature with something much more user-friendly. The remaster will include Spyro the Dragon, Riptoe's Rage, and Year of the Dragon, and there is the tantalizing promise of some content cut from the original versions of those games. Article goes on, highlights from it though. It'll be announced for PlayStation 4 with PlayStation 4 Pro support sometime in March 2018. One source suggested that September would be the launch month, which would be in line with how Spyro the Dragon's 20th anniversary is coming up. A one-year timed exclusive for PlayStation 4 is the idea. Apparently, Kotaku reports, the Crash Bandicoot Insane trilogy is tied to a similar one-year exclusivity window, so expect to see multiple ports of that in 2018, and then Vicarious Visions is developing. Andrew, do you care?
Are you coming in here?
Well, Aaron wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can. It says, hey guys, with the rumors from Kotaku this morning about a Spyro trilogy remastered coming later this year, I was just wondering, does anybody in the office give a shit about Spyro? The original trilogy are some of my favorite games of all time, and this news has got me beyond excited. However, I've never really heard you guys talk about these games. Just curious if my favorite gaming personalities had any affinity to the series like I do. Thanks so much and keep up the great work. Aaron Malin from Rochester, New York. Tim?
See, and I had it set up for him and everything. It's okay. No, go nope. Go to Greg's
microphone. Are you kidding me? Well, first off, it's haircut day. That's what, you know, the comments. I need one too. All right. Are you kidding me? Of course. Unleash the Dragon. The campaign has started a year ago. It's finally happening. We're doing this. Shout out to Laura Kate Dale, the person that leaked this. She's always awesome and always doing great work out there at Kotaku UK. Of course I'm hyped. Spyro, let's go. The Dragon is back. We're doing this. They're doing it right. They did it for Crash Bandicoot and they nailed it. Now here's the thing. You presented this differently to me, Greg. You presented this to me not asking is there fans in the office. I thought you were asking me does anyone care about Spyro, so I prepared some shit, Greg.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is I just don't think that many people care about Spyro, and I'm just saying that I think this is going to sell dramatically under what Crash did.
I agree with you.
That's
Greg.
Fine, but everyone said that about Crash Bandicoot. Who the fuck cares about Crash? Oh, there's no way this sells.
No, no, no. The hype for Crash was always there.
That is not true at all. If you look at forums, trust me, I was on the other side of it. I was the one that everyone was talking so much shit to on any forum, every single one. Back in NeoGAF, before Crash Bandicoot, whenever there'd be rumors, people were like, there's no audience for this. Nobody wants this. Nobody wants this. And then when it was announced, it was, this is going to sell horribly. And then it sold great. Is Spyro going to sell as well as that? I don't think so. But there is a nostalgia equal to Crash when it comes to Spyro. When you look back at the PlayStation platform.
Yeah, because a lot of people didn't have taste back then.
Well,
or they had great taste.
I don't
people
think that's
like.
The case.
In 1998, GameSpot's Joe Fielder gave Spyro the Dragon an 8.3. All right? And now you might be like, hey, inflation of time and reviews, okay? I get it.
Joe Fielder is in prison right now for
In 2007, IGN's own Ryan Clements re-reviewed the game when it was on PlayStation Network and all that and gave it a 7. Saying, quote,
sanity rules!
Saying, quote, the dragon's still kicking. So you're going to tell me that a 7, you expect more than a 7 from these? If it got less than a 7, that'd be a big deal.
Just for the record, Ryan Clements gave Folklore a 9.0.
I think Skylanders has brought back Spyro.
No!
Into the like mind share,
ruined
right?
Ruined it. They took a dump on him. And then they gave him a stupid cartoon on Netflix. And it was even worse than you could ever imagine. And then they made Crash Bandicoot talk.
They kept him alive, Tim. All right?
They did not keep him
alive. They kept him
alive. Oh my God. They put him in the corner, kept poking him with a stick. And then they lit the stick on fire and kept fucking beating him with it. This is the chance to bring Spyro back correctly. Do people care? Yes, they care. All the Spyro games are in the most selling PlayStation games of all time list. All right? Are they as high as Crash? No. So that's the thing. We need to set our expectations correctly.
So this is a Zelda versus Pokemon thing.
No, it's not.
As far as sales, right? If you think about it, like, did you know we have this same conversation and then someone wrote into the You're Wrong talking about the total amount of sales that Pokemon has had versus Zelda, and it showed that Pokemon just crushed Zelda in numbers.
Yes. Crash does not crush Spyro in numbers.
Okay.
Crash did very well. All three of the Crash games, number 8, 13, and 14, best-selling PlayStation games of all time.
Okay.
PlayStation 1 games. ranging between 5 and 7 million copies sold. Spyro 1, 2, and 3, the 17th, 24th, and 26th, ranging between 3 and 5 million. So that's pretty close when you think about it. Then you add Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy on PlayStation 4 with 3.3 million. Looking at that, what do you expect from Spyro? A sweet, nasty 2.2 to 2.5 million. You heard it here first. Who's hyped for Spyro? Me. Unleash the Dragon. And the other thing, I put out a tweet, Unleash the Dragon, with this news story. 280 retweets. I'm not that famous. I never get retweets like that. Guess what that means? People fucking care about Spyro.
Are you just a hype man, or do you care about Spyro too?
We would have let him drop the mic if these weren't such expensive
mics.
Spyro the Dragon sold more.
Spyro the Dragon. That's fucking crazy.
Spyro sold more than Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. And that was good.
I mean, that's not, that's not surprising, though.
Here's my thing. Is I have no love for Spyro, just because it just wasn't my thing, right? But I don't. I know there's fans out there. I just like riling Tim up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Hashtag euthanize the dragon. That's what I'm getting.
Oh, come on now. That's uncalled for.
I'm hopeful. I mean, yeah, I want it to do well. I want people to get what they want. I want it to, you know, pay off for them. It'll be interesting. This is such a more solid move, I feel, of like, oh, man. Crash did so well, let's go to Spyro, whereas PlayStation was like, let's go medieval. Let's bring medieval back. Like, no, you're the only person who cares on medieval.
Kevin, do you even know what that game is?
No, he really does like medieval.
Okay.
No.
Also, I love what your hair is doing right now. I don't know what's happening, but I like
Throw yourself up on, whatever. Kev can, there you go. Oh, that's going to be hard to see.
It's like an alpha ring.
There you go, you got the alpha. There you go, yeah. That's what it looks like. Again, this is the reason you watch the YouTube video and not just listen to the podcast. Because right now you're in your car just trying to get to Jewel Osco.
Oh my God, it's so good. He's slowly going across the bottom of the screen.
That's what he does.
Bye, Kevin.
He's a talented young man. I like him a lot.
Here's the thing. I don't have a horse in this race. I mean, I am very ambivalent about Spyro and about Crash. I think that Activision is doing the right thing by handing this back to Vicarious Visions. They clearly did an excellent job with the Insane Trilogy. And given its success, this is not surprising at all.
Yeah, exactly. I hope they find what they want. I hope the fans are happy. I hope Tim's dreams keep coming true. And I hope Tim starts dreaming for a new Patapon, period. Like a brand new Patapon. That's what we want. The remasters and re-releases of that, great. Great, but when we get 3 out the gate, where's the PlayStation 4? Patapon, I digress.
I should start a jar where you have to contribute $1 for every time you say the word Patapon on this show.
How much? You're at like $9 right now on the...
Yeah, it's more than 9.
Shush, I'm getting close. All right.
If there is a best friend out there who is enterprising enough to figure out exactly how many dollars Greg owes me... I will get you a game code.
Ooh. Remember, I kept saying Xbox Games Pass, and it's Game Pass.
Yes.
And so then when I finally discovered that, I said from here on out, I owe you $1 every time I say games. These don't count. These two right here as examples don't count.
And it's the first person who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with an accurate number and to make sure it's accurate.
Math. They like.
You should link the episodes.
Okay. You're making them do some work. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And, sure, okay.
I'll make it worth your while. I'll make it a good game. Ooh. Not one of these like little $10 games. I'll make it like a full AAA
game.
Oh,
so now you're saying $10 games aren't good games?
No.
Andrew and everybody, what's good games? Apparently not $10 games.
$10 games are more subjective. More subjectively good.
I digress.
Yes, you do.
Number 2 on the Roper Report, Ubisoft is apparently focusing on Origins and not making another new Assassin's Creed game, kinda. This is via IGN, replying to an earnings call question asking if the series would return to a new game a year release schedule. Ubisoft CEO and friend of the show, he's not, Yves Guillemot, said, "We are concentrating at the moment on Assassin's Creed Origins, for which we are going to launch a few other DLCs. So, you will be amazed by what will come to Assassin's Creed Origins. That's the only thing we can say now." Guillemot went into some depth about the success of Origins, explaining that it is, quote, that it is on track, that's a typo, to almost double players' playtime versus prior Assassin's Creed titles. Ubisoft executive director Alain Corr called it the successful comeback of the Assassin's Creed franchise. The company clearly puts the success of Assassin's Creed and its other 2018 games down to slowing down production on the whole. "With more time to polish our games," explained Guillemot, "we have been able to release 3 high-quality titles since August. We have fully embraced a significant increase in resources required to develop ever bigger games." Good news or great news, Andrea?
I mean... great news. I don't know.
I like them taking time. I like them slowing down. I don't want Assassin's Creed shoved back down everybody's throat.
I think that the extra time clearly paid off with Origins, and there's no need to have that size of a game come out every year. That's asinine. That's too much. They should take some clues from some of the other major open world franchises that take 4 or 5, even more years between releases in order to make sure that they're really great. I think it's still going to take some time for them to earn back the goodwill of a lot of people who got burned by some of the past Assassin's Creed games, some of the more recent ones in the franchise, who maybe have heard from people like me or other friends of theirs about how good Origins is. They maybe aren't still convinced. So I think taking more time is going to work out to their benefit.
I'm going to toss it in here while we're talking about Assassin's Creed. I would save it usually for new dates. Oh. I just realized I fucked up. I don't have the out today list. I'll pull it
before we get there.
Thank you very much. However, on February 20th now, that Discovery Tour by Assassin's Creed Ancient Egypt will be coming out. It's free for Origins owners and $20 as a standalone title. Of course, that's that educational one. Go through and see what's going on in Egypt kind of thing. Number three, here we go. More juice for the rumor that there's a remake for Turok 1 and 2 coming to Xbox One. This is via Wario64. He tweeted out, PEGI ratings for Turok and Turok 2 Seeds of Evil have both been rated PEGI 16 and listed for the Xbox One. Now I say more juice because let me take you on a stroll down memory lane, courtesy of Andrew Renee. In May 2015, PC Gamer had this and said, the rumor emerged from a Tech Raptor interview with Samuel Vall, a level designer on Fear, Perseus, Mandate, Section 8, and Aliens Colonial Marines, who's rebuilding the obscure 1996 shooter Power Slave. In it, he said he'd been working on an update of the Nintendo 64 version of Turok before starting on the Power Slave redo, but put it off to the side for some reason, and then got to the interesting bit. Quote, since now Night Dive Studios, who are the people listed in the PEGI rating, I don't know why that got cut out of my notes, but who are listed as the developer in the PEGI rating, has picked up the rights to re-release it. Turok's EX will resume development later this year, he said. He added that he's working with Night Dive previously on Strife, the 1996 FPS that hit Steam last year. So, seems pretty legit that Night Dive Studios has these two Turoks pretty much locked and loaded, ready to come out and everybody to have fun with.
I'm so ready for this. Turok was one of my favorites.
Cerebral bore.
And I think with where we're at in the generation, like it could be something really fantastic.
Yeah.
If executed properly.
Yeah.
But
is it going to be executed properly?
I have no idea. It's been so long since we've seen
anything.
And
that's the thing of like the rose-colored glasses of how great Turok was on N64. How much polish and remake and what all they do. It has to be from the ground up, obviously. You know what I mean? And have it be super modernized. But like, you want to know, I'll say something that not a lot of people want to hear.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember the PlayStation 3 Xbox 360 Turok game that came out, the reboot?
I don't think I played it.
It wasn't great, but it was quite good and deserved more credit than it got, I think. And I think that, don't get me wrong, totally a single A, double A game, like, you know, that mid-tier we always talk about that's disappeared. But a sequel to that could have been really great. If they would have given that studio more time to work on it, that could have been really great.
I mean, I feel like that's the story of video game development.
Very true. Very true.
If that studio had gotten more time. But I think that this is a franchise that a lot of younger gamers maybe never got the opportunity to play. Mm-hmm. And I remember it so vividly from my time as a gamer with the N64, and would love to see it like first person. Now that I actually really love first person games,
because
back then I did not.
Oh, really?
I was one of the, it was during that time where I would move with the stick and I would just stare at the ground.
Right, you're always
in
up
circles.
In the sky, always down there.
But now that I have such a comfortable skill set with FPS games, I'm ready. I'm ready for a brand new Turok.
It'd be awesome. Turok has a lot of cool stuff.
Xbox One got Turok as an exclusive.
Yeah. You think that's where the money's at?
That would be awesome.
We shall see. Rated. We should know something soon. Final item on the Roper Report. There's a giant story Andrea Renee put on the thing.
It's important.
I'm going to read it. It's from Polygon. It is Hawaii lawmakers introduce loot crate regulation bills. Got lost in my own head there. Sorry. State lawmakers in Hawaii have, as promised 2 months ago, introduced four bills that would regulate the sale of video games that featured so-called loot boxes or loot crates as part of their gameplay. Two bills in Hawaii's State House and Senate would prohibit sales of loot box games to consumers younger than 21 years old. The legislation defines the loot boxes as a randomized in-game reward that can be bought for real money. Another two bills, also before both chambers, would require video game publishers to label their games with notices that they contain loot boxes and disclose what the rates are of receiving each reward in their system. Loot boxes or loot crates caught the attention not only of lawmakers in Hawaii and Washington State, but also regulators in Belgium, the United Kingdom, and New Zealand, mainly when Star Wars Battlefront 2 launched in November. UK and New Zealand officials ultimately said loot crates did not fit their nation's statutory definition of gambling. Here's where Andrea puts a note in. The ESA here in the U.S. also said this, though they are not a governing body. Thank you, Andrea.
No problem.
It's almost like you knew you'd have to assemble the list I screwed up. You know what I mean? So you're just like, I'll put my notes in here for Greg. Indeed, at a news conference in November, Hawaii State Rep. Sean Quinlan noted that loot crates had been a feature of mobile gaming for some time, but their encroachment on AAA console gaming made them a greater concern, especially for parents. Moving on, Electronic Arts has declined to comment on legislative efforts involving loot crate systems. The Entertainment Software Association, the industry's United States lobbyist, released a statement in November saying that loot boxes, quote, are a voluntary feature in certain video games and are not gambling. The bill's principal sponsor in the State House, Representative Chris Lee of Oahu. But there's no W. It's just O-A-H-U.
Hold on, let me go back Oahu? To... I'm pulling Oahu? This list together.
Oahu? Just, I'm telling you, stop using the video game
Oahu.
Release.
Yes, that's Oahu.
Is it? That's how you spell Oahu?
Yes.
Where's the W?
There is no W.
Huh. Hey, don't be like, I'm not one of the Richie Riches that have gets to go to Hawaii all the time. Andrea Renee.
Excuse me.
All right.
I'm
not a one percenter. I'm a literal blue collar. All right.
Whatever.
Out here. Every day I come here and I risk getting the black lung talking about video games. All right. I'm in here in the salt mines. You're over there. Thank you.
You were just on a trip in Canada.
I digress.
Get out of here.
Oahu. I want to go sometime. Anyways, had harsh words in reply. Quote, I grew up playing games my whole life, Lee told the Hawaii Tribune Herald of Oahu yesterday. I've watched firsthand the evolution of the industry from one that seeks to create new things to one that's begun to exploit people, especially children, to maximize profit. To which Andrea left another note. Damn.
I mean, that's some harsh words.
Hell yeah, it's a damning statement.
So this is... This is interesting. We've obviously heard quite a bit about loot boxes and microtransactions as gambling over the last couple of months. Interesting to see the government in Hawaii actually like making some
sure.
headway on some of their concerns. I think the idea of trying to regulate it by putting an age limit on it, like alcohol, for example, is going to be incredibly challenging with the way that digital media works today. I don't know how they would regulate that in a very meaningful way. Just like trying to regulate who buys R-rated movies online is also pretty impossible, which is why it's technically self-regulated. It's not actually illegal. I think certain states have certain laws about buying movie tickets in theaters, but that's a kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if you're familiar with that actual legislation. The important takeaway here is this could just be a whole lot of like thumping for nothing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of legislation that gets introduced every year here in the United States that goes absolutely nowhere.
Sure. It's a good way to get a headline if you're a schemey politician, at least from what I see on House of Cards. It's a great way to get your name in the paper and look like you're doing something.
It's also, a great way for legislators to get their constituents off their back.
Sure.
If maybe people or parents are writing in saying, I have concerns about gambling. My child spent all this money and they didn't get anything for it. There was no warning about it. So the legislators can then stand up and say, hey, we tried to introduce a bill and it just didn't
pass.
Hey,
I did my part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to you guys. I did this. It didn't happen, but it shows me actually being grassroots.
I'm not sure if that's the case here or if these legislators, truly do have strong feelings. Clearly, Chris Lee does. I mean, what he says here, is probably what a lot of gamers out there feel.
Sure.
Begun to exploit people, especially children, to maximize profit. Mm-hmm. I mean, That is 100% true.
Yeah.
There are some companies out there that are being very exploitative, and that's disappointing because I think that there's a place. And I know that I've gotten some heat in some of the comments on this show for saying
you?
That. Yeah.
Heat from Could the comments? Could you imagine?
For saying that I think there is a place for microtransactions. And after getting into Rainbow Six, like, that's a perfect place. Like,
sure.
All of that customization, skins for my weapons, little charms for my guns. Like, that's a microtransaction that I think makes sense. But
I'm the same way with Monster Hunter, right? I check the store. I'm like, did they add anything? No, just a hairstyle there. Okay, I like it. But it's...
Right.
I'm not looking to get the best armor in the game. I'm looking to get cool armor styles. I'm looking to get cool hairstyles.
Right, but those aren't loot boxes, which is really the problem, is like this randomized roll that you're paying and you don't know what you're getting on the other side.
Exactly.
So, and I understand that those are two separate things, but they are very much connected. Well,
they get confused
in a lot,
especially in these conversations. And I think that's what you're saying, is that there is a place for microtransactions in a game. And that doesn't mean that there's necessarily a place for loot boxes. There could be. All these different things, but you're talking about the fact that, yeah, I want to give money to, you know, developers that are making great games and get what I, but I want to get what I want for the most part. I want to know what I'm buying for. What'll be interesting is, I don't think this is the tipping point, but if Hawaii was to pass it, what does that do for state by state, US in general, and also the rest of the world, right? But then it becomes, well, fuck. Are, because this is, and I know it sounds silly, but like, you have to put another logo on the box, you have to do something else for that. So then, are we just not going to sell our games in Hawaii? Or if it started to spread everywhere, then are we just going to pull loot back boxes all the way back? Because fuck this, it's too much trouble. But there is money to be made there. So how do you do it, and where do you go?
I guess, yeah, I would like to see like the cost benefit analysis of how expensive it would be to institute some kind of age gating in the online digital marketplace versus like how much they would lose if they took the microtransactions or the loot boxes off of the marketplace.
Yeah.
I have to imagine, knowing how much they make in these loot boxes, that it would be more cost effective to put some kind of age gating in place so that they can continue to make money. I think the first solution, if this passed, would be they just stop selling in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's a relatively small...
It becomes like Australia, right?
Small
where
market.
Games get, like, so games get there, but they're so different by the time they get there.
Right. Yeah. But then if more states followed suit, then they would have to obviously address the problem.
100%. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
I would love to go to Hawaii, but I'm not going anytime soon. Instead, I'm going to sit here and play video games. If I wanted to know what came to the Mom and Grot Digital Shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
I'll give you the two that I have here, which aren't the actual game releases. Black Panther DLC is coming to Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 today. Remember, of course, all of Kinda Funny was in Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2. But I didn't really give you my opinion on the game, so I'm just, you know, clarity, ethics, whatever. Buy it or don't buy it, I don't care. And then also, today marks, and this is just straight from a press release, today marks the release of ZeniMax Online Studios' first major update of 2018 for the Elder Scrolls Online, a two-dungeon DLC game pack called Dragon Bones, and Update 17, a free edition for everyone, which includes a slew of new features and upgrades. Both are available now on PC and Mac, and trending into new dates, will release on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on February 27th. Andrea, what about all those games that actually came out today that I totally forgot to list on the thing because there was great reader mail?
There's actually quite a list today.
It's Tuesday.
Do you want me to read this list?
I do.
Okay, here we go. Crossing Souls, which you guys talked about yesterday. PlayStation 4, or did you talk about that on Friday?
We talked about it yesterday because people wrote in about it, yeah. And then I saw today got a 6 on GameSpot. So maybe that guy was lying that it was great. Or maybe it's one of these $10 games you're talking about that are garbage.
Who knows? I haven't played it yet, but they did send me a really fun little lunchbox with a bunch of stuff from the 80s and the 90s in it.
Max Scoville apparently has been talking it up too. I saw people tweeting me about that. Or not tweeting. I saw one person in kindoffunny.com/KFGD to say that today. But Devolver Digital hates us and we hate them back. So fuck you, Nigel.
Oh.
I'm just saying that's apparently what's happening. I get no lunchbox. I don't know nothing about this game. When the fucking ape game comes out.
Do you respond to your emails that they send you? maybe.
When
maybe that might have something to do with it.
The ape game comes out, that's the one I need. You see that ape game at PAX a couple times ago?
No.
Oh, you run around as this escaped ape beating the shit out of everybody? It's amazing.
Okay. Continuing on. CubeWorks coming to PSVR and PlayStation 4. Drunken Bar Fight is coming to PSVR. I kind of want to know what this game is now.
I can tell you all about it.
on the PlayStation VR show coming soon. I'll tell you about it now because
Teed you up for that.
Yeah, it's one of our. It is one of the games we put on the PlayStation VR show. It'll be out probably in the second wave. We're doing 8 episodes, so probably like a month from now.
Is it as great as it sounds?
It is. It's not a great game. It's a fun, goofy. Well, I'm in VR, and it's me in first person. You walk into a bar, and beat the shit out of people, and you pick up guitars and bottles and smash and throw, and like you have like unlimited strength. So you're like picking people up and throwing them.
So it's like Collateral Damage, but with humans.
Yeah, and it's janky and it's like clearly rough, but it's fun. But yeah, I don't know how much they're charging for it or anything like that.
Okay, Dynasty Warriors 9, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Kingdom Come Deliverance. PS4, Xbox One, PC. This game looks really interesting, actually.
Hold on. Save.
Really? For those of you who don't know, it is...
George Kimbrell writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hello, Greg and Andrea. Long time, first time fan. I've been seeing clips, gameplay details, and so on for Kingdom Come Deliverance, which comes out today. As I am writing this, it's already out. I was wondering your thoughts on this new RPG and if either you will be playing it any. I hope you both have a great day and show much love, George." Yesterday, someone else wrote in with a similar thing of, "Why aren't you guys talking about Kingdom Come Deliverance?" And we didn't even talk about it then. But now we're talking about it. Now, what is Kingdom Come Deliverance?
It's an RPG. It's a medieval RPG that with a focus more on historical accuracy than high fantasy.
Okay.
And I've seen a couple gameplay demos of it online, and the graphics look really great.
Yeah.
You know, very medieval-y. So it's got that like King Arthur kind of feel to it.
It seems like a Brit game. Is Brit playing this? This sounds like something
she's
she'd
very
want.
Excited to play.
Of course
it
she is.
From the last time I spoke to her.
Yeah. Okay. So what's good? I'll have some impressions on it soon.
Soon, yeah. So she actually was just in Hawaii. She just got back, so I don't think she's had a chance to play it yet.
I'm just saying.
1%ers.
Maybe
Greg,
you're giving
it's not
them too much
from
on
the West Coast.
Maybe you're giving
you
them too
go.
Much on Patreon. Maybe you send some Patreon money our way.
For the record, none of us have collected a single check from
I'm
our Patreon.
I'm fucking around.
Funds.
Everyone knows.
So, Greg, you just watch yourself. I'm going back to the list now.
All right, cool. I have no interest in Kingdom Come Deliverance, so we'll try to get impressions either through Andrea or maybe one day Britt will come down from her ivory tower and come on Gamescast.
Okay, we'll arrange it.
I know I've invited her multiple times. She's always got an excuse.
Yeah, it's me.
Eating wings.
It's me most of the time.
Yeah, I'm here to do the show that I actually came down to do.
Knockout League is on PSVR. Mahjong Carnival is on PS4.
Mahjong's great.
Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game. PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch. Owlboy is out on Switch.
I'm loving Owlboy. You can catch out first blush impressions on the Gamescast right now on youtube.com/kindoffungames. Podcast services around the globe.
Pinstripe is on PS4. Pop-Up Pilgrims is on PSVR. Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology is on Nintendo 3DS. Shocked is on PS4.
Does it have a question mark at the end of the title?
No, I'm trying. So it looks German, so it's S-C-H-A-C-H-T. Shocked.
Shocked. Shocked.
I don't know how to say that. I'm definitely saying it wrong.
You're fine.
South Park, The Stick of Truth, finally gets its standalone release on PS4 and Xbox One.
Crazy that took so long.
Yeah.
Because it was a pre-order bonus.
It was
when
a digital packing, yeah. But it's out now, so you can buy it separately.
The game's awesome.
If you never bought the Fractured Behold.
If you use a guide, I'm pretty sure it's a platinum in one playthrough. Because they like to hide those chin Pokemons all over the place. And they put one in one place you couldn't get back to. And that's what broke the platinum for me. Where I played it, you know, before. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, oh, maybe I'll go back. And then it's like, no, the one you need is on the one. I'm like, oh, well, fuck this.
You're not going back?
No.
Okay.
Got too much to do.
That's true. Sprint Vector is out on PSVR.
Another great game that is part of the PlayStation VR show coming up.
The Fall Part 2 Unbound is on PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch. The Longest 5 Minutes, PC, Switch, Vita.
Yeah.
And there's a limited edition also on Switch. True Fear Forsaken Souls Part 1 is on PS4. And Wonder Boy The Dragon's Trap, the physical retail version, is out for PS4 and Switch.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome, Greg.
Wonder Boy. New dates, as I already said, Assassin's Creed Ancient Egypt coming on February 20th. Then, almost 2 decades after the franchise made its debut on PlayStation, Square Enix Collective and Sushi are excited to announce that their Fear Effect sequel, Fear Effect Sedna, will hit PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC on Tuesday, March 6th, 2018. Then, from a tweet, THQ Nordic is pleased to announce that the remastered version of Da Blob will be coming to Nintendo Switch in 2018, again in collaboration with Blitworks. Hashtag platformer, hashtag action game, hashtag THQ Nordic, hashtag Blitworks. A lot of those hashtags I don't think are getting used that much. And again, THQ Nordic continuing their tradition of, we will take everything from that dead company that failed, but we won't fail this time. I'm sure we got this one in the bag. No deals of the day, so let's jump to reader mail and tell you it's brought to you by Bombfell. You might have noticed I've been looking great on this show. I've been wearing fancy pants too. You've seen me wear those. It's because of Bombfell. You go on the app, you go on the website, you sign up for it. They give you a personal stylist who gives you one-on-one advice. You get some clothes. Bombfell is an online personal styling service for men that helps find the right clothes for you. Once you sign up online and complete the simple questionnaire, you are matched one-on-one with a dedicated personal stylist who handpicks every piece. Your stylist will email you a preview of their selections, after which you'll have 48 hours to make any changes or even cancel altogether. You're in total control. Afterwards, Bombfell will ship you the selected clothes, and you'll have 7 days to decide and only pay for what you want to keep. Send the rest back with free shipping both ways. You can receive clothes every 1, 2, or 3 months, and you can pause or cancel anytime. Clothing is shipped straight to your door. No need to spend hours shopping at the store. And now, with every shipment, you get to keep. The more you keep, the more you save. Keep 2 items, get 10% off. Keep 3 items, get 15% off. Keep 4+ items, you get 20% off. Like I said, I've used this. They've hit me up. I like these clothing box services because I don't have to go to the store. I don't got to see anybody. Somebody just looks at me online. How about this? They send it in. I say yes or no. Send it back. We have a special offer just for listeners of this show. For $25 off your first purchase, go to bombfell.com/kindoffunny. That's bombfell, bombfell.com/kindoffunny. Once again, bombfell.com/kindoffunny for $25 off your first purchase. Thank you, Bombfell, for making KFGD happen. Let's start with a hard-hitting question from Ronnie Sanchez, who writes in and says, Dear Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Wait, are you reading?
Thank you for your time. Sincerely, Big Ron is Batman. You get a Big Ron is Batman. People, the audio listeners love a good long pause.
It says awkward pause in his question.
Oh, guys. Yeah, you know, because that's the tradition of like Colin and I used to always stop shows and just hold it for a long time so that because the goal is to hold it long enough that whoever's driving or working on their car looks at their iPod to see, fuck, did the show?
Did it crash? Listen, I'll admit it. You've gotten me a couple of times when I listen to the show.
That's what it's all about. You know what I mean? We're a show that likes to have fun here. And if you don't, get the hell out. Let's talk to Brandon. Brandon writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Greg and Andrea, did you get the Watcher gear in Monster Hunter World? I haven't picked up the game yet as I was working my way through the backlog and was waiting for my birthday, but you guys constantly talk about the game makes me want it even more, though I wasn't hooked on the demo. No wonder they call you influencers now. However, I was disappointed to find out part of the Horizon gear was already gone. Even though there's still another piece coming up with Aloy, the Horizon set was a selling point for me when I eventually get the game. So do you think they'll cycle these events again? To me, it seems a bit odd to make an exclusive selling point so limited, especially if people aren't able to get the game immediately when it releases. If it's exclusive to Sony IP like Horizon, why does it need to be limited? I understand they want people to buy the game immediately, but what are your thoughts on that type of marketing or structure? Love the show. You guys do a great job. Thank you.
Brandon, thank you. This is my exact point. I said this almost exact same set of words about this issue. I don't understand why it was time limited. I think it's a silly partnership to make it not only time limited, but like you can't get there right from the get-go. This is the thing that we talked about with Grimecraft when the four of us were playing when you guys had your sleepover.
Yeah.
And I was like so pissed off about it, and Grimecraft was trying to be like, oh, it's only rank 5. You can get there in a couple of hours.
It was rank 6, you son of a bitch.
I was like, no, you can't get there in a couple of hours because like you can't just steamroll through all the story missions unless you're having people carry you through. So I guess if you wanted to cheese your way there, of course you could do that, but that kind of breaks the experience. I don't want to steamroll through the first part of the game. It's a brand new game. I want to enjoy it. I want to luxuriate in it and explore and do side missions and respond to SOS flares and just basically take my time.
Sure.
All right. Like I was very frustrated. And so like I saw the deadline coming up. So I went to the arena, which by the way, I hate the arena missions.
Where you just beat the shit out of the monster?
I already feel guilty enough about trapping
you're one
and
of
killing
these, types.
These monsters, but then you just drop them in an arena for slaughter? It's shooting fish in a barrel, guys.
They can't run away that time.
No, it's terrible.
Hey, listen, man, that electric, that's that lizard squirrel fucking electrified guy, he doesn't want it. He's not going to like you.
Fuck that guy.
All right, here's something I'll say. Unpopular. Okay. I like it. I like the timed exclusive.
Did you
Nope.
I got one watcher lens, and wouldn't you know it, you fucking need two watcher lenses.
I really wanted it, but the problem was it wasn't congruent with me and the travel schedule. And it, coming back to the point is like, yeah, when I'm with you on the fact that when like, oh, level six, I'm only level 10, right? But we're talking about, I'm 30 some hours in because I keep helping other people and jumping out and doing things that only those story quests move.
You mean
your
having fun with the game at your own pace? Yeah.
Thank you. I am an, you know what I mean? I'm a man of the people, Kevin. I want to get out there and help them out. Thank you. But no, so it's, yeah, I was, my rank isn't where it probably should be if I played 30 hours of just story and ran through it.
Right.
But I don't care that much because I feel, Kevin, you have the, so if you're not a Monster Hunter fan, obviously, you have your Palico. It's that cat that runs around to help you. For what? It was from launch until last Tuesday?
February 8th.
Okay, so last Monday?
I believe last Wednesday?
Last one, whatever. No? Doesn't matter. No? It's launched through last week some point. Mm-hmm. You could get armor for your cat that makes it look like a watcher. Kevin, mm-hmm. you got it.
Yeah.
Is it an overlay or is it its own armor set?
It's its own armor set.
It's a full armor set.
And it's stronger than anything I have at the moment.
See, that's my one thing about it is that you change gear so much in this game that I was like, oh, I really want this, but I'm like, would I even use it or whatever? I'm more excited right now by the Aloy armor that's coming or that's out now because first off, I'm it's a hunter rank 11, so I should be able to get to it tonight and look into it.
Is that out yet?
Oh, yeah. I think
it just started, yeah.
But it's like through the 28th. I think we have plenty of time.
Yeah.
But
it's through the end of the month.
But if that's a step up, if it's hunter rank 11 and it's that step up, great.
Okay. That's exactly what I was gonna say. If it isn't that step up that we can upgrade.
Sure. If it was like, hey, this quest locks on hunter rank 6, then it's no good to us.
No, there are a lot of people out there that are hypothesizing that this just going to go into a rotation that. It'll be brought back. I don't understand why it even needs to be in a rotation. If it's meant to be a partnership piece of content that they were pushing to promote their partnership with PlayStation, why time gate it?
They want you to buy right away.
It doesn't make sense to me.
They want you to buy and play right away.
Well, I mean, sure, but like the idea that the armor set is now limited to these 2 weeks as well, like it doesn't make sense to me.
But doesn't it go the same way of anytime you play a video game in a beta or whatever and they give you a special flag or special shirt? Like it's a, hey, badge of honor. Look, I did this. Yeah, I was there.
But generally, those things unlock from the moment you boot up the game and you can use them through your entire playthrough.
Mm.
I just don't get it. Also, I have my full butterfly armor set now.
Ooh.
And I don't think I'm going to take it off.
Yeah. See, that's the thing is I have a great set of armor too now that looks all like demony and stuff and like it's got some fire on the breasts and I'm like,
which armor set is it?
It is the I don't have my phone on me.
The Ogdoron?
Yes, that's it. Thank you. The one
mean one?
Why is it? Oh, the monster's mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's
right.
The only monster that I don't feel bad taking out.
Okay, good.
Cuz he's a jerk.
Also
listen,
point.
When you have to go up and shoot a Kelby just to get its horn for a potion, I tweeted about this. It's wrong. It makes me feel like I'm killing elephants or rhinos.
We have
or something.
To kill the. We have to call
so
the
I stopped
herd.
Doing it.
They're very clear. We have to call the herd. I just started killing those Nidorinos just for no reason. You guys remember the fake names a lot better than I do.
No, that was a Pokemon name.
Oh, okay. Because I just don't. I mean, I know the armor I like and I want. And right
like
now
little,
I'm just short
like
of belt.
Little deers. They're just hanging out. They're not
right
monsters.
Right now my belt is short. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But once I get that, I'm really. I mean, I'm going to look into how many more monsters, how many more armor sets I'm going to unlock, because I really just feel like pouring all my upgrade points into this thing.
Yeah.
Make it look great.
The Legiana armor. Oh.
Also good.
Oh, my gosh.
Also really, really cool.
So good.
No, the Legiana is the one with, like, the helmet. The helmet has, like, two things coming off. You look like fucking awesome Thor.
Yeah, and you got the wings on the back.
Yeah. Yeah. Zest Whisper. Wrote into kind of fun. I feel like I just conjured something when I said that. Zess Whisper wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea, with the Tomb Raider movie out in a month, is that fucking true? It's only a month till that movie? Good Lord. It got me wanting to go back and replay the first game and play the second. And he means of the new console generation.
The reboot,
kind of. Yeah, exactly. But I don't own either of them. My question is, do you think the games will get a price cut before the movie releases to drive game sales, or do you think the movie will generate sales for the game and that they'll keep their price point where it is? Thanks, Whisper. Great question.
They haven't come down in price at all? That seems highly unlikely.
I think he just means, will they be on sale? I think I assume they've come down in price that I'm still not paying $60 for the original Tomb Raider Definitive Edition on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One.
Tomb Raider Definitive Edition on Xbox One is currently listed for $19.99 at Best Buy.
Hot damn. How much cheaper can it fucking get?
I mean,
Whisper.
If you don't think that that's a reasonable price for that game, then I don't know what to tell you, because that's a great price. Yeah. That game is really, really good.
Oh, it's awesome. What about Rise of the Tomb Raider? Where's that at right now?
Rise.
I feel like both those games, I could see a sale or a bundle or something getting closer to it. But I also think the more... That's going to be...
Also listed $19.99. Right, some places $21.99.
You're just too cheap, Whisper. You got $40 for both those games, you're insane. Go buy them. I'm sorry, I can't help you on that one. I think you're more likely than with the, if the movie's just a month away, where is the news about Shadow of the Tomb Raider being leaked on a fucking train of in Montreal, somebody working on it? That's got to be coming soon. Teaser trailer around that, I bet.
Yeah, I would imagine, because we were expecting news of that hopefully by E3, if not at E3 for sure. There are rumblings that it's going to come potentially sooner, but a teaser around movie launch sounds right. Make it happen.
We're gonna do required reading here. This is one of those segments we've introduced before, but it actually has reader mail in it, so whatever. But here's something you need to read on the internet right now. Over at Kotaku, there's an article called Sex, Pong, and Pioneers: What Atari Was Really Like According to the Women Who Were There. This is by Cecilia D'Anastasio. Did I say that right? I always fuck that up. I talk about Cecilia a lot on the show. She writes a lot of great stuff for Kotaku, and I always feel like I screw her name up. D'Anastasio. I got it right that second time. Nailed it. Anyways, it's about... She went and did this awesome interview with a whole bunch of ladies who worked at Atari during the whole Nolan Bushnell thing as a reaction to the hashtag not Nolan GDC kerfluffle. Because if you missed all those shows, GDC said we're going to give the Pioneer Award to Nolan Bushnell. After they made that announcement throughout the day, people started using the hashtag not Nolan because, hey, look at all these horrible things he said before, what they did at Atari back in the day. These are his own words from this book, this interview, all these different things, this Playboy article, da 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 da. The next morning, GDC's like, we've decided we're not going to do a Pioneer Award. We're not going to give out a Pioneer Award. We're rescinding that, but we'll give it. We're dedicating it to all the unsung voices. And that GDC of any year needs to reflect what the industry is for that year. This, of course, huge kerfluffle, as we said. People on both sides of the argument. Well, what are you talking about? He did all this amazing stuff. Do we hold... This is something that was... It was a different time. Back and forth, back and forth. Everybody angry, yelling at each other. Because that's all we do on the internet now. Nick writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea. Last week you discussed GDC's honoring and subsequent revoking of the Pioneer Award to Nolan Bushnell after a trending hashtag that put a spotlight on the fraternity culture of Atari. Yesterday, Kotaku published a story in which they interviewed 12 women who worked for Atari at the time with quotes such as, nobody could have asked for a better experience, quote, the best job they ever had, and that the sex, drugs, and video game culture being, quote, one in which all 12 employees say they freely participated if they participated at all. So I ask you, do you think the internet and GDC possibly reacted too abruptly to the whole situation? It seems GDC first didn't do enough research when deciding to give out the award, and then again didn't do much research when they revoked it, instead of reacting swiftly to a Twitter mob hashtag. Nick.
Nick, yes. I think that they reacted too swiftly. I think they should have thought it through. However, what they should have done, if we're talking about hypotheticals, is they never should have nominated him this year in the first place. They should have waited until... you know, this movement has a chance to run its course, and then we are able to all have like an adult conversation about what's happening around this movement. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they can talk about how he was, you know, part of the industry a few years down the road when the focus isn't about, you
know, this hotbed issue right now.
Correct.
Cecilia's article brings it up really poignantly and is a great read. That's why it's required reading. You need to go read it.
It's really well done.
It's extensive. It's long. It's got a great bunch of great stories where you can hear in the quotes the women who are talking about it wrestling with it as well, of like, well, it was a different time, and no, I liked it, and no, the flirting went both ways, but I understand that now that would be an HR email, and you know what I mean, like, you understand that that's not how it was here. I digress though. What I appreciated about the not Nolan hashtag at the time, for the most part, obviously there's, you know, there's people on both sides of this extreme here, was the idea that it's not people saying Nolan doesn't deserve this award. It's not them saying, fuck this guy. It's them saying, is this the year for it? Somebody who has been outspoken, you know, wears the sex t-shirt or whatever it said, and like had the hot tub parties and talked about it in a braggadocious way. Again, that's just how it was, and it was awesome. What a fun story. In the same way,
this is the time of Leisure Suit Larry, right?
Exactly. If you went and listened to me in an IGN podcast in 2008. I'm sure I tell fucking horrible college stories and I'm like, what a great time. No frame of reference. I don't know, have that lens, right? Is this the time with that lens on everyone right now? Of like, oh fuck, how many times have we made somebody feel inappropriate? Oh fuck, that, oh, yeah. And the article even brings up the fact of, yep, there are these 12 people we talk to that for the most part are all right. There's a few times where people are like, I don't want to talk about that, or this happened, blah, blah. Or I felt uncomfortable in this situation, but it wasn't that big of a deal. For every one of those stories, are there stories there, and you assume there are, of people who had that conversation with somebody and felt uncomfortable and weren't cool with it and left the company, didn't speak up. It wasn't that time either for that kind of thing. That's the whole thing of the time's up right now, right? Is that it isn't to sit there and be silent anymore. And well, that's just how this office culture works. It's to, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, if you're uncomfortable in a situation, to have the power and bravery to be like, you know what? This isn't what I want. Not necessarily fly off the handle and fucking go crazy, but I mean, like, to be like, hey, you know what? I don't think that's playing the way you think it's playing. That's what this is all about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've all been in a situation where somebody said something that made us uncomfortable or made somebody that we care about uncomfortable, but it was, you know, in return uncomfortable to say something back to that person.
Oh, like, yeah, it's happened to me.
Yeah, no, it happens to me quite frequently. And it's one of those things, especially if it's in a professional setting, there is a very delicate way to handle it without it making it become, oh, this got weird.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or to get somebody defensive, or for people to get angry, or for there to be, you know, heaven forbid, professional repercussions.
Yeah, yeah.
Thankfully, there's a lot of legal things in place today that prevent, you know, you from being retaliated against if you come forward. But for the most part, it doesn't even matter that those things are in place, because if you come forward, people are always going to know you as that person, which is why so many women in particular have not chosen to say anything until now. And I think a lot of women today are banding together and kind of encouraging each other to be like, hey, you don't have to accept that behavior any longer.
Sure.
Like, we are now at a point in our collective consciousness where we can say, hey, you know what? Like, just don't do that. Like, yeah, be a better person and treat everybody with the respect they deserve. And we should all be able to get along together. And so I understand why GDC made the decision they did, because ultimately, if they hadn't revoked it, this conversation would swirl with negativity around the awards. The idea of him going up on stage and doing some kind of a acceptance speech yeah, yeah. would have been really uncomfortable for a lot of people, not just, you know, people who have vocally said not Nolan, but people who are like, well, I appreciate what he's done, but like, yo, it's clear that this is like not the right time.
Yeah.
So I think that even though, you know, it was very reactionary, I agree with you here, Nick. What if we could turn back time?
Yeah,
it would be better for them to have this conversation before they announced it and been like, "Hey, maybe we should actually not. Maybe yeah. we should not."
And that's the thing, is, I mean, we can Monday morning quarterback everybody on every decision on the internet, right?
Of course.
And that's the thing, is like, yeah, it's a complicated issue with many sides, like, you know, super gray in some respects, especially when we're talking about Atari, where yeah, you know, everybody was a participant if they, you know, seemed to be or whatever. Like, it's complicated. That's long and short of it. But you know what isn't complicated? Squad up. That's where you write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and what game you need help in. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has fun. Miranda writes in. She needs help on Discord or PlayStation 4. I hate the Discord names. Kevin will put them in the chat. It's Grubologic number sign 7485 and Picktown Boss 7. Miranda says, hi, I don't know if this counts as a squad up, but I'm in Pittsburgh for work till the end of the next week. And I was wondering if there were any Pittsburgh Kind of Funny best friends who would want to hang out, show me around, or just give me some recommendations of things to do and what places to eat. Hit me up on Discord, Grubologic, number sign, 7485.
You can say hashtag.
I can't. Or PlayStation 4, Picktown Boss 7.
You could say thanks. Pound sign.
I could say pound. I could say that. That'll be in the description on YouTube and, of course, in your little podcast description, because Kevin's really good at his job. Hit up Miranda if you're in Pittsburgh. Be a best friend. Andrea.
Yes.
If people are watching live, they have one job. It's go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight. For everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe, what do we screw up today?
Well, kebabs out the gate.
Oh, God.
With, now, this isn't really... I don't know if this is a Kevin. If this is a you're wrong, but it's kind of interesting. Okay. So they say, pick and mix. Valentine's Day has already begun here on the other side of the dateline. Hashtag more lovin'. If you have an issue with it, you can talk to Greenwich or something. What?
Greenwich Mean Time. Here's what I'll say. The only time that matters, Pacific time.
I'm hero. Unsung.
Kevin hates Central Time for some reason. You know that?
I hate it.
A lot of hate for Central Time. In the
I'm from Central Time.
Me too.
There's nothing wrong with Central Time, Kevin.
There's so much wrong. 2 hours? Get out of here.
The United States is a giant place.
Oh, I'm all aware.
My problem with Central Time, as someone who grew up in Central Time, is that I always felt like we were less than. When they'd be like, 7, 6 Central.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we just can't have the number. We have to have a little asterisk on it.
If Tim can't be hyped about Spyro, Greg can't be hyped for Patapon. They're in the same boat.
For the record, I'll tell you right now definitively, and I'll put down the act, there's no fucking way those two franchises are in the same boat. Spyro is a way bigger deal than Patapon, and I love Patapon.
All right. I was scared you were going
to
lie.
No, I'm not. I put down the act. Patapon wishes it had Spyro numbers.
BG2580 says Joe Fielder is not actually in prison. He is actually a game director for Other Side Entertainment.
I've heard it both ways. I heard he, you know, payola for his review.
Also, Andrea, sending love from the Twin Cities. If you ever come back, there has to be a kind of funny meetup. I agree. I'll get some friends from Game Informer to come over.
Yeah.
It'll be great. Oh, they're doing a big party, by the way. They're celebrating their 300th episode on March 3rd. So if you live in the Twin Cities, you should find out the details because I believe it's open to the public.
Ooh.
So congratulations, Game Informer, on 300 episodes. We actually had Miss Kimberly Wallace, features editor at Game Informer, on the show last week.
You can check
that out at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames. Okay, next up, Capitalist Pig. Even though he says you can hammer this home or ignore it at your leisure.
Oh,
leisure? Leisure.
If you give a you're wrong that can be ignored, don't give that you're wrong.
He did a quick check for me on the Crash versus Spyro sales numbers. He says the Crash Bandicoot series altogether has sold over 50 million units worldwide as of 2007. The number is 10 years old at this point, but the series was relatively dead until recently, so it shouldn't deviate much. The Spyro series has sold more than 20 million units worldwide as of March 2010. This number is 8 years old and does not include the Skylanders totals. So Crash has outsold Spyro 2-1.
There you go. That's good. That's good. Okay. As usual, Capitalist Pig, good work.
Groovy Tron says, people care about Spyro the Dragon. I care about Spyro the Dragon.
Okay, good. Looks like March is going to be a good month for you.
Matt of Doom asks, do you remember roughly when the Game Pass payment began? This is up to you, Matt of Doom. I believe it was when the first announcement came out. But
I feel like it's definitely this year. And I feel like it's been this year. It's in it. Well, here's the easiest way to do it is to go through and find in the past 5 weeks or whatever it's been, Andrea and Greg episodes. And then, yeah, if you have a Game Pass in there.
It's not just my episodes, though. You've said
but I started the thing with you. That's why you get the money.
Yeah.
I was also here. Can I get some money?
You get jack shit.
Kevin.
You keep putting fucking white screens back here.
How
you
about
think
this,
I don't
Kevin?
See it?
I'll put the money towards either a bottle of alcohol for the office or pizza for the office.
Okay.
Damn, it's like that. That's cold.
Okay. Capitalist Pig with more on movie ratings and the law. Thank you for writing in about this. From what I can tell, this is more complex than it seems. The Motion Picture Association of America rating system is completely voluntary, just like the ESRB's rating system is. However, many places choose to enforce this on their own. Much like how stores have rules in place to not sell M games to kids, many theaters have rules in place to keep people from buying R-rated movie tickets. However, there are states like Tennessee that ban the sale of tickets R-rated and above to minors. The problem is this doesn't apply to films that are listed as NR, not rated, so if the studio chooses not to opt into the optional MPA rating system, they can get around it. Additionally, many of these laws only apply to the sale of tickets, to which I will add a footnote. Most movie theaters will not show movies that are not rated
Correct.
just like the vast majority of video game retailers will not sell
AO
games, which means adult only. So I think that that's important to note, that even though technically this is right and correct, mm-hmm. you very, very, very rarely. I can't think of an example of where a movie theater would have an NR movie inside. I think the last movie that was like that, or maybe was the one with Jessie from Saved by the Bell. Where she's Showgirls. Was that the last one that was like that?
Showgirls, it was rated. I thought it was almost an NC-17 or whatever, and then it got brought down to an R or something like that.
I thought there was an NC-17 version, though.
Oh, there probably was.
I mean, there's some hot stuff in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
It is good.
Remember hearing that? Of like, oh, man, Jesse from Saved by the Bell is doing this crazy-ass, totally vulgar stripper movie. Like, what?
Mm-hmm. Dude, that pool scene.
And then it's like, it was bad. It was so bad, it was good. Everybody go watch Striptease tonight.
Yeah.
No, wait, that's not the movie.
I mean, that's Demi Moore, also good.
Everybody
also
go
good
watch
movie.
Indecent Proposal tonight. We're big fans of Jesse from Saved by the Bell.
Okay. Moving on. Ceratopes says, SOT Platinum. You can do it in... This, I believe, is the...
South Park Stick of Truth.
South Park, yeah. You can do it in one playthrough if you have a save switch. There's a part where you have to make a choice, and you need to go down both paths for different trophies, as well as beating the final boss in two different outfits.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta read the thing. The guides.
Excuse me, Outcast 212. I did read Owlboy coming out on the Switch, because Greg talked about how he's playing Owlboy.
Chian, I said watch the game's cast for impressions.
But he does say it was supposed to release on PS4 today as well, but the developer has changed the PS4 release to TBA at the last minute.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's a great Metroidvania game that got great scores when it originally released on PC.
It's fun to play now on Switch, I'll tell you that.
So Charles J says the Aloy event is the 28th of February through March 15th.
Oh, it hasn't begun yet. My apologies. Right now. I thought it ended at the 28th.
I also thought that it was right now... Huh.
Good job. Good correction. That's what we need here.
All right.
Which one from Rottenvale?
Well, it's one long mission where you don't go to the girl to ask for new missions.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. When you're on the airship.
Which is really cool when you see it from the outside.
Yeah. Someone say it's really cool inside.
Huh?
Did you get your new apartment yet?
Ignacio Rojas, your point is not lost on me that I have a problem hunting monsters in a game called Monster Hunter. It's the fact that they name some of the smaller creatures in the world monsters when they're clearly not monsters. They're just...
They grow up to be bad, scary monsters.
I mean, the thing about it is, you're getting hung up that you need the horn, you take the horn. You're getting other stuff out of him. You're getting bones and whatnot, right?
Me?
Yeah. Using every part of this monster.
No, I'm aware. Okay. I'm aware. Listen, I haven't stopped playing the game, so clearly doesn't bother
me that
much.
Oh, you did last night to go play Rainbow Six Siege.
And I have no regrets.
Yes, the unsung hero's gone back to me.
Kevin, do you want me to pull my offer back? I was trying to do a nice thing for you.
Now you're in a rock and a hard spot.
For all of us.
That's true, for everybody. On PSN, Tomb Raider 1 and 2 are $35 and $80 in Canada, respectively. These definitely need a sale. Huh. I guess it is important to mention that if you're in a different region, it's very possible that these prices have not dropped.
Interesting point.
But, and for that, that sucks for you. I'm sorry.
America number one.
But they're listed. I looked them up for $19.99 each here.
Okay.
In the US of A. That's it, Greg.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, please be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then consider supporting us over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, $1 gets you access to, on Thursday, the first episode of the PlayStation VR show and Tim's one-on-one with Easy Allies Mr. Huber. He'll also be on Kinda Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow, it'll be Gary Witta, Witta Wednesday. And then afterwards, oh, sorry. Then after that, we will do a Monster Hunter stream. No, do it again. Look at, and then, wow. I had time to do two doodles today. Widow Wednesday and then Batman. Batman has nothing to do with it. Then Monster Hunter on stream tomorrow. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.